Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for October 11, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, Love.
Amen. We're so excited about you being here today. Excited to start a new sermon campaign today. One thing I want you to know right up front is I'm looking forward to meeting you. If you're a guest here today, I'm going to be out at what we call VIP Central after service, and I want to have a conversation with you. I want to find out what you like. I want to find out what you thought we could do better, and I want to be able to answer your questions about Bethany Christian Community. In starting this new series, one thing we want to do is we want to give some things away today. The first thing I want to give you today is a sermon by Tim Keller on friendship. I heard this sermon on friendship the other day, and I thought, that's the best sermon I've ever heard on friendship. And an explanation of the text, a man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend that's closer than a brother. And if you will listen to this, you will thank me. I promise me, you will listen to this, you will thank you. So here's what I've done to make it possible for you to listen to it. I've made copies of it. I have 50 copies here today for the people who do not want to go download a podcast and for whom that terrifies you. The idea of downloading a podcast just really doesn't work for you. For whatever reason, you don't like the Apple ecosystem or you just can't figure out what a podcast is. I don't know, but if the ushers have them, if you'll raise your hand, and up on the screen, I believe we're going to put instructions of how you can download it. Some of you, I would rather not have a CD. Don't give me CDs. Show me where I can go find a link and download it. That's what I'd rather do. If you want a CD to put in your car, raise your hand, and we won't shame you for wanting a CD instead of going and downloading it somewhere. If we run out, I'll give my copy away because I don't want it. I listen to it on podcast. Here, Jamie. There we go. Okay, and you see some of us wearing these T-shirts. We're getting ready to start a new series called Hello, My Name is BCC. And this series is about who are we? Who is Bethany Community Church? What has God called us to be and do? How are we doing so far? Some ways we're doing great. I know we can always get better. God has put three words into our hearts a number of years ago that capture who we believe we are and who we're striving to be. Those three words are love, grow, serve. Would you say those words with me? Love, grow, serve. We're here to love unconditionally. We're here to help each other get better, and we're here to go out and serve the world. That's what God has put us here. So for the next, concluding today, 4 weeks, we're going to explore who we are and see what God can do as He just ingrains that identity into us greater and fills us with the Spirit, and we want to release even a greater anointing on who we are. So we want to give some T-shirts away today. And I believe I have my lovely assistants here. So we want to do it a fun way, and that's we're going to fire them at, okay? All right. If you can catch one, let's go over there first. I did better in practice. Our risen King is on His throne. And soon His saints are welcome home. All glory be to Christ alone. Okay, let's go for the Hail Mary. Over there.
The day is dawned and death is slain. The King of Kings will always reign. Jesus has won the war.
Okay, Actually, the good news is we have t-shirts for everybody. We just wanted to do that for the fun of it. So if you go out to the gym after church, right by Aunt Sandy's, everybody get a t-shirt. If the t-shirt you got is not the right size, go change it for the right size. And we ran out of CDs, so that's great news. I'm so glad that you wanted those and are excited about those. And that's awesome. I believe it will really, really help you. So if you'll go to Connection Central out in the gym and tell them that you want a CD, we'll burn some more for you and have them available for you. So our celebrity scripture reader is going to come right now and give you our text. As we talk about week one, we're going to talk about a church that loves.
A reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in the Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. So I want to talk to you today about our calling to love and what that means. What that means as individuals, what that means as a church. You know, the devil's job is easy. The Bible says that he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So his job is very easy. It's easy to hurt people. It's easy to kill things. It's easy to destroy things. In fact, you don't have to do anything. You can just neglect. You can just neglect people. You can just neglect things. I mean, you can just neglect your, you can neglect your car and you will destroy it. Neglect your house. Neglect your yard. Neglect your health. Destroying things is easy. Building things up. Making them better. Someone defined love as making other people feel better about themselves. Someone else defined love as helping other people reach their highest potential. Loving people is work. Loving people requires effort. Loving people requires the energy of God, for God is love. Let me go back in history a little bit to talk about when and how the church, in my opinion, and I don't just mean Bethany Community Church, but the universal church, how we got it wrong, and how a group of missionaries who went to Ireland in the 5th century and 6th century got it right. And talk about which model we have decided that we want to follow here at Bethany Community Church. At the beginning of the Middle and Dark Ages, 5th century, Rome began to be overrun by barbarians and heathens. So we have the complete fall of Rome as a political power. And the Roman church was faced with all of these barbarians coming into Rome. And so here's the way they presented the gospel. Here's the way they sought to reach them with the gospel. Present them with the gospel message. If they were civilized enough, only the ones who were civilized enough would even hear a gospel presentation. But those who were civilized enough would hear a gospel presentation. If they accepted it, then they were invited into the church. There's a guy named St. Patrick. Now, I know that you think St. Patrick is just a guy that once a year you wear green and drink Irish beer. And that's really all you know about St. Patrick. But St. Patrick and other missionaries who went with him were about a lot more than Irish beer and wearing green. They were about some things that were really revolutionary and really incredible. Because St. Patrick, by the way, was taken when he was 16 years old, he was taken as a slave to Ireland, And there he spent 3 or 4 years. Eventually made his way back to England where he was from. There when he was in captivity, though, in Ireland, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ and became a Christian. And later decided to become a Christian missionary and take the gospel to Ireland. St. Patrick saw the way the Roman church was doing the gospel. Present, if you were civilized enough. If you believe and accept, then you were invited into the community. St. Patrick turned that on his head. St. Patrick went to Ireland and with a group of missionaries began to establish churches and communities. And those churches and those communities, their first order of business was to do good for those who did not believe. And they established these churches and these monastic communities. And one of the things that they did that was so effective, because their philosophy was not believe our message and then you can come and be a part of us. Their philosophy was not go and tell, but come and see. Not go and tell, but come and see. The Roman model was go and tell. And if the pagans believe you, then you've got a convert. But the Celtic model of evangelism and the Celtic model of Christianity was not go and tell, it was come and see. And here's what they would do. They would invite refugees, abused people, all kinds of people in their community, anybody in their community could come to their community, or I mean, I'm talking about the larger community in the town, the city where they were, could come to their community, and here's what would happen. A porter would meet you at the door when you came to their community. Inquire very gently why you were there. And when you had that conversation, he would welcome you into the community, and he would go get the abbey. The abbey was like the pastor. The abbey would meet with you, read you some scripture, pray a prayer of blessing over you, get out a pan of water, and wash your feet. You were not a believer. You did not understand the faith. You had not accepted Jesus Christ. But they would greet you, welcome you. They would show you to your guest house where you would stay there as long as you wanted to stay there. They would assign a brother to you. They would assign a brother to you who would be your friend while you were there, and they would begin the ministry of conversation with you. And they would begin the ministry of conversation. You would take your meals with the abbey, with the pastor. You would take your meals with him, and you could ask any questions you wanted to ask, and you would watch them live out their faith. You would watch them live out their faith. You would watch them say their prayers. You would watch them. You would be with them, and while they would serve you, and they would minister to you, and they would converse with you, and they would talk with you. And if at some point you decided that you believe what they believe, then they would invite you to make a full commitment of your life to Christ, Jesus Christ, and do his will, and then you would become a Christ follower. What do you think? Now, they were not universalist. Universalism is the doctrine that all sin and all sinful and all alienated human beings, regardless of what they believe, just because of God's mercy, will ultimately be reconciled to God. That's universalism. They were not universalists. It was simply a come and see approach to sharing the gospel rather than a go and tell. Now later Columbanus was another missionary who went throughout Europe spreading this message and using this Celtic form of evangelism to bring people to faith. And eventually Europe was totally re-evangelized. And most scholars believe that this re-evangelism of Europe using the Celtic model is what ushered in the Renaissance and restored, because the pagans and the barbarians came in and destroyed art and destroyed culture. And it was when the cultures began to come back to Christianity that art and culture began to flourish again and began to happen again throughout Europe. Unfortunately, the Roman Church, in a synod that happened in France. I believe it was about 1670. There was a synod. You know, they just had a synod somewhere the other day, right? Or maybe they're still having it. And we'll have to wait till they're done to see what's next for us. But and I'm not, you know, I'm not putting down the Roman Church, because plenty of Protestant churches have had that approach too. I've had that approach too of just go and tell people rather than inviting people to come and see. Because see, the Celtics believe this. They believe you could belong before you believed. We have, you know, I'm going to read some testimonies in a moment of some people right here in this room who talk about this, of coming to this church. And one of those people was in our baptismal class this morning. And I've watched her growth. I've watched her come not believing, hanging out with us, being a part of our life, being a part of a life group. Because that's what those Celtic communities that I talked about, one thing they would do when you were there is they would put you in a small group. You would have a small group that you would meet with while you were there in that Celtic community, just like we do at BCC. Because we believe that it's desirable that people belong before they believe. Amen, church? Is that good? You're going to vote on that? Unfortunately, in the 17th century, the Roman Church, at that synod that I talked about in France, crushed Celtic Christianity and said, no, it has to be done the Roman way, Roman culture. Because it didn't just include a way of evangelism. They had to impose Roman culture. The priest had to have a Roman hairstyle. They couldn't have an Irish hairstyle. They had to have a Roman hairstyle. They had to do Roman music in the churches. And St. Patrick's would say, let's just be cool. Let's go. If we're in Ireland, let's do Irish music. And if we're in France, let's do French music, you know, instead of importing Roman music. But that's what religion does. Religion misses it. Religion misses it. But a relationship with Jesus Christ gets it. A relationship with Jesus Christ gets it. It's not about importing your culture. It's not about importing my culture, but it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we eventually have heaven culture, right? We have two. I don't like the word programs because it sounds cold, but I can't think of a better word right now. We have two programs at Bethany that many of you have found community through these two programs. One is life groups. Every week, there's a dozen life groups that meet in the homes throughout this community. Almost every night of the week, there's some life group you can go to. And by God's grace, we want to multiply and have more life groups. But a place where you can come and sit with 5, 6, 10, 15 people. Sometimes they're as large as 20. We don't want them to get really that big, because we want to break up and start new life groups when they get that big. But it's a place where you can go and you can ask questions. And you can question the faith, and you can see people who live the lifestyle, and it's just a good chance if you have to move, somebody will come and help you move. You know, stuff like that. It's been an interesting week at Bethany, and I was kind of preoccupied in getting ready this morning, so I didn't hear everything that was said. I don't know if Steve Gonzalez talked about Carly today, but I think most of you are aware that Carly Gonzalez was diagnosed with cancer, a lesion on her clavicle was diagnosed as cancerous. The good news, it's localized. That's the good news, but she starts chemotherapy tomorrow at Boston Children's Hospital. And I have been blessed, and I know Steve and Julie feel this way, and Carly, to see this community respond the way that makes me proud as a pastor. That makes me proud of you. That I never have to worry that you're going to respond and you're going to care. And there was a group of us that met around Carly for prayer and Steve and Julie for prayer on Sunday night last week. I love these prayer circles that we're starting to do here at Bethany. And I think it does so much good. It's so powerful. You see, by the way, I forgot to mention the second program. The first program is life groups. The second one is Alpha. We're going to start another Alpha November 4th. And if you have questions about the Christian faith, if you're just not sure, you're not sure that you believe at all, you're not sure you even believe in God, you're not sure you believe in Jesus, or maybe you are sure you believe, but you don't know why you believe, please go out and sign up for Alpha. We meet out at the new Mendon Home store. I want you to be there. I want you to be a part of it. It's an amazing community experience that happens for over about 11-week period. At BCC, we're a family that resembles the Father. That's what we are, and that's what we want to get better at. We're not saying we've arrived here, because I know there's somebody here today that probably doesn't feel like you're a part of this community. You come here on Sunday morning, but you still don't feel included and all of that. We know we got to get better at it. We know we got to get it. Help us get better at it. Help us get better at it, because we want to get better. We want to become more like Jesus Christ, because the model that we see is the one we see in the life of Jesus, who came to earth and came from heaven and came to earth and lived as a human being. He lived among us. He walked among us. He lived among us. Have you ever noticed the unconditional love that Jesus walked in? All of his miracles were done unconditionally. The only condition he ever put on it was faith. Do you believe I can do this? That was the only condition I ever hear him putting on a miracle was, do you believe I can do this? I never hear him saying, you have to join my this or that. You have to sign up for this. You have to become a member of my church, my organization. You have to pledge to begin to give a certain amount of money every week. I never hear doing Jesus. Jesus healed people and never saw them again, because his miraculous power was based on, and anything the church is going to do that's going to be powerful in this room or in this community, it will only be done on the basis of unconditional love. It will only be done on the basis of unconditional love. It cannot be done any other way. And you cannot receive anything from God. You cannot receive anything from God unless you believe he loves you unconditionally. Someone asked in the baptismal service this morning if this meant they couldn't make any more mistakes once they're baptized. You will make mistakes. You will fail. You can't have a heart that wants to fail. You can't have a heart that doesn't care about failing. But you must get it straight that the love of God is, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God himself created the Celtic model of evangelism and the Celtic model of community-based Christianity. That's why it worked. That's why it was successful. That's why it was successful in re-evangelizing Europe. That's why it worked. We're a family that resembles the Father. Ephesians 3:14 that Rachel read a moment ago calls us his family. He said, I bow my knees from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. See, the church family, notice where it's from. His whole family in heaven and in earth. The church family is connected with heaven. That's why, If we're doing this right, you're going to hear people say phrases like this. I can't believe. I can't believe how many people were there when I had sickness in my family. I can't believe all the food that people brought. I can't believe how many people helped me when I had to move. I can't believe how many people took an interest in my child. I can't believe that complete strangers helped me financially. I can't believe that people handed me money when we were in need, and I don't even know how they could have known. They didn't even know we were in need, and they did it. Why is that? because the Church of Jesus Christ has its headquarters in heaven. Some of our members are in heaven. Some of our members are on earth. It has a heaven-earth connection. It's not just about this world. What happens in this building and what happens in the hearts and minds of all of you that are here today is out of this world. It's out of this world. The church family is deeply connected with the heart of the Father. It says, God, from whom his family derives its name. Now, the Greek word for family is patria. It comes from the word pater, which means P-A-T-E-R, which is where we get our English word paternal. It means father. The church is named after the Father. We are named after the Father God. This means the church has the DNA of God. The church has the DNA of God within it. Within the church of Jesus Christ is divine genetics that are in this place, that are in this house, that are in what we do this morning. It's a part of us. It's who we are. You know, it's not hard to act like your parents. Amen? Some of you sighed. It's not hard to be your dad. It's hard not to act like your dad. It's hard not to act like your mom. Now, some of you really young people, you don't believe this. You're thinking, I'll never be like my mom. I will never be like my dad. Someday you're going to get married. And one of the things at a very low moment in your marriage, it's going to be a dark day when your spouse is going to say, you're just like your mother. You're just like your father. I can't help it. I find myself sitting in a chair like my dad sat in a chair. I find myself gesturing the way my dad gestured. I find myself needing alone time the way my dad needed alone time. My dad had to get off by himself and think. I have to get off by myself and think. I can't help it. It's in my DNA. I am William Bailey McCutcheon's son. I look like him. My body is, I have his body. This is it. Love you, Dad. It's hard not to be your dad. It's hard not to be your dad. I mean, you know, what choice does Sherry have but to run a thrift store? She has no choice. Oh, you say, well, I just have to really try to be godly. Nah, you don't try that hard. Just relax. Just relax and become a worshiper. Just relax and let God love you. God is love. You have his nature in you. His nature is not just in you personally, though, because you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle the whole nature of God inside of you. His nature is in the house. I said his nature is in the house. His nature is in the church. Amen? His nature is in the body of Christ. Bethany Community Church is like God. Together, cumulatively, as a community, what is God? What is God? What describes his DNA? John 4:16. God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So when it comes to serving, loving, relating, and celebrating, there's no distinction between insiders and outsiders. We love the same. The story of the Good Samaritan is a perfect example. When we started Compassion New England during Hurricane Katrina, when the vision for this was born, that was the story that was impressed upon my mind. That was the story that I thought about daily, because we were beginning to have, as a church, an outward focus. And I saw the story of the Good Samaritan, how that this man who was a Samaritan, unlike the religious leaders who walked by that day, those two religious leaders who walked by that day and ignored the man who was on the side of the road who had been beaten up, he was the only one who gave no judgment. He didn't ask the man his name. He didn't ask the man his religion. He didn't ask him his economic status. He didn't inquire about his social status. He didn't get answers about what he was doing in that place and why he was there and what was he thinking coming alone on the road down to Jericho where everybody knew it was dangerous. He didn't inquire. He knew nothing about him except that he was a human being that God had created, and that he whatever he had belonged to that other human being, that simply because of their simply because they were fellow human beings, they were worthy. He was worthy of his resources, worthy of his affection, worthy of his faithfulness, and worthy of his time commitment and financial commitment that was required to that other human being. That's what makes the church great. That's what can make and does make this place great, because it is a place of indiscriminate, unconditional compassion. That's what I want us to be. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Someone said, bombs have kill radiuses, churches should have love radiuses. Anyone within 20 miles of a church should know it. We're a family that resembles God. We're a force that heals. I said, we're a force that heals. As I said earlier, the Roman church eventually crushed the Celtic approach to sharing God with the world at the Synod in France, late 1600s in the 17th century. The result, you know what the result, the eventual result of Rome's decision to be imposers instead of invitational, have aura of dominance about them. You know what the eventual result of that? The 11th and 12th century, what happened? The Crusades. Their decision to move away from the legacy of St. Patrick and return to a closed, unloving way of presenting the gospel. See, this has nothing to do with standards. This has nothing to do with holiness and the standards and the word of God and healthy standards that help people. This has nothing to do. The Bible, the New Testament, is full of standards. It's full of admonishments. It's full of admonishments to live a holy and a pure and life. This has nothing to do with that. It is being willing to be a light and a presence in the midst of darkness. That's what it is. It's not saying, okay, we're going to turn the light on here and you can only come in here if you're a person of light. Sadly, the Roman church crushed that. It created the horrible crusades that if you're trying to share your faith at work, you know you're going to have the crusades thrown in your face. And they're right. The only thing that they don't understand is that it's because the church lost its way. A church lost its way and quit living the gospel. They quit living the gospel. Jesus came and lived among us. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. Theologians use this term. He lived incarnationally. He lived incarnationally. In other words, God became one of us. God wants us to become one of them. You know, you remember that Celtic community that I talked about earlier? Their number one rule was to prioritize the guest. If the abbey was fasting, he would stop fasting when the guest came so he could eat with the guest. Because that was the number one rule, to prioritize the guest. They treated the guest as though they were meeting Jesus. Because Jesus had talked about, I was a stranger and you did not let me in. So their belief was, we should treat all strangers as though they are Jesus. Now that's a twist on loving people, isn't it? That's a twist on loving people. That you don't love them because they're sinners, and they may be sinners. We believe in the word sin around here. And we believe in there's such a thing as a sinner. We believe there's such a thing as being separated from God. But God says, go and you love the sinner as though he is or she is Jesus. Serve them as though you are serving Jesus. That's a different philosophy, isn't it? I did a random customer survey this week. I asked Bethany respondents to complete the following sentence. I wanted to see how we were doing. And here's the sentence. Some of you know, because I emailed randomly. So if you didn't get this, please don't be offended. I'm just a man. I'm just a human being. And if you didn't get asked this magical question, I apologize to you with all of my heart. I am sorry. But I didn't get to all of you. I didn't go through the list and say, there's the important people. Just went through the list, randomly selected a bunch of names, emailed you, and asked this question. Not a question, really. I said, finish this sentence. BCC has loved me by. And here's what I got. I probably can't read all of these. It's three pages. BCC has loved me for 25 years. By the way, they all gave me permission to use their name. So I'm going to do that. BCC has loved me for 25 years by helping me raise my children, helping my marriage, supporting me in numerous ways, guiding and teaching me, and being in constant presence for all these years. My kids come from a family of divorce, and having the church always be there along with the school has made their lives much more stable. Working at BCC has been an enormous blessing as well. Nancy Butler. Wave at us, Nancy. Maybe you should hold your applause to the end so I can get through more of these. BCC has loved me by helping me get through some of the darkest days of my life, by celebrating with me during some of the best days of my life, and by loving my kids unconditionally. Lucy Pelling. Wave, Lucy, where are you? BCC has loved me like family. When I needed prayer or help, people in BCC have been there for me. It is a blessing knowing people that care so much for you and your family. Jen Oliver. BCC has loved me has loved me by loving my family in many aspects of the word love. The BCC family is one that has been there from helping us move to be a closer church to prayer and life groups. My kids know they are loved and safe at every BCC event. Jen Oliver. BCC has loved me by providing a place where I can raise my children and grow to be a better person. Vanya Santos. The first thing that comes to my mind is that BCC has loved me by loving my children. A lot of people care about that, don't they? My boys would not be where they are today without the love and support, correction, and challenge of our BCC family. BCC never gave up on them or us and always believed the best for us. BCC has loved me by speaking truth into my life and into my family's lives. Great things happen when your heart is open to hear God's truth applied to the broken places in your life. That's Melissa Kramer. BCC has loved me by walking with me during my journey through cancer, providing meals, going with me to chemo treatments, visiting me in the hospital, bringing with them ice cream, flowers, or gifts, and continually cover me with an umbrella of prayer and love. BCC became an extended family for me when I had custody of my lost custody of my great-grandchildren. Help was always just a phone call away. I'm sorry, she said, when I had the custody of my great-grandchildren. That's Sylvia George. BCC opened my heart to God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, therefore releasing me from a life of selfishness and sin and leading me on a new life adventure. Putting God first in all I do and in prayer wasn't always easy, but God and BCC has never left my side. Through thick and thin, a life at BCC is a life with God and the blessings of loving friends I call family and another place I call home. That was Don Parada. Wave at us, Don. In 2010, I came to Brigham and Women's Hospital from New Mexico to get a second opinion on cancer. Pastor Phil offered to let me park my camper behind the church during treatment. Two brothers from my New Mexico church drove my camper here. Bethany paid their airfare back. Members brought me coffee, invited us for dinner. Jason hooked up my propane tanks. Jim and Rose Keating drove me to Boston at 10 o'clock. Helen Matson made me her famous carrot cake. Elise McCutcheon walked my dogs. Many people handed us cash. Because of all this love, we knew we wanted to be a part of Bethany, so we sold our house in New Mexico and moved back to be with our church family. Ken Benjamin. BCC has loved me by being a place of sanctuary, far beyond a physical place to worship God. It is a community hub made up of loving people that offer emotional and tangible support during difficult times in my life. When I ask God to help me through suffering, the Spirit prompts me to connect with an individual at BCC, Melissa Mills. BCC has loved me by helping me raise my kids to grow up and learn about Jesus and have a personal relationship with Him, Emily Sobers. BCC has loved me by serving us the moment we came to town, by giving Jesse and me avenues to serve. When we moved here in 2012, we really didn't know any of you, but you showed up en masse to help us unload that very full truck on that very hot day. Since then, you have loved us by accepting and giving us places to serve God, the church, and our community. Jeff Dorn. Andrew Real said, BCC has loved me by not letting me stay where I am, but walking me through how to live my life more like Christ would want me to live. Here's someone who said, oh gosh, this is a very hard thing to do in only three sentences. So much more I wish I could say. BCC has loved me by helping me open my heart to Jesus. Less than 2 years ago, I considered myself a non-believer who only came to BCC so that my daughter could make up her mind about this church thing. However, because BCC has loved me, guiding me on my walk with Christ, I just discovered what trusting one's life to Christ was all about. Sorry, I just got to find my place here. However, because BCC, my family loved, I know where I am now. Because BCC family loved, accepted, and supported me and my daughter, we have both come to know and love Jesus Christ. Amy Emerson. Where are you, Amy? Wave out there. You can give her a hand for that. I'm going to skip to the end here. BCC has loved me by being faithful to me. There are hundreds of ways BCC has made me feel loved. BCC has loved me by accepting me and my girls when we were really broken. When we felt we had nothing to offer the church or school, BCC has always made us feel like we mattered. Sherry has met with me every single Saturday, with the exception of maybe three since March. Even as she's heading out of town, she makes sure to phone call me. I can hear her packing in the background as she hits every topic she needs to cover to make sure everything in my life is all set until we meet when she gets back. That's love, kindness, and compassion at its best. That's Janine McElmo. Amen. There's a lot more. And in fact, we have some copies to give you on your way out today so you can read more. Thank you, BCC. This is not what the pastor does. This is not what an assistant pastor does. This is what you do. This is what you do. Tim Keller said, love is not a vat you fall into randomly. Love is saying, I see everything about you, good and bad, and I'm still committed to you. That's what BCC is all about. That's who we are, and that's how we want to be more of. One time a man of means had a credible, beautiful car. And one day he's at church and there was just a ragged little boy who needed a ride home from church. So someone in the church said, can you give this kid a ride home? And so he says, sure. And they get in this amazing, beautiful car that this guy had. And they're riding along, and this kid is saying, this is an incredible car. He said, where did you get this car? And he said to him, you know, my brother gave me this car. You know, I've done well in life, but my brother's even done better than me. And my brother gave me this car. And the little boy looked around that beautiful car, and he said, instead of, I'd like to have a car like this, he said, I want to be a brother like that. My challenge to you today is that you would hear those stories, all those stories of how people were served. And I just wish I had more time to read the rest of them. There were about 15 more that were just incredible. And I hope when you hear those stories and when you hear this message today, I hope when you think of Jesus who left heaven and left a place where all of his needs were met and he had total comfort and he came to be uncomfortable and even the Bible says in one place had no place to lay his head so he could live with us and so he could give us eternal salvation so he could make sure we knew that everything was okay with God. You ever had that situation where someone you really cared about, you knew you had messed up? You knew you had done something boneheaded and stupid? You knew you had hurt them? You knew you had embarrassed yourself? And you didn't even want to see them, you know, because you knew it was either going to be a fight or you were going to be shamed. They were going to just shame you, or they were going to give you the old cold shoulder and the old silent treatment, and they were just going to heap more shame on you. You ever had that situation? Has that ever happened between you and another human being? But somehow, some way, when you did see them, they had the grace not to do any of those things, but they had the grace to reach for you. They had the grace to say, it's okay. It's okay. I forgive you. If you've ever been in that situation, you know that 1,000 pounds lift off of your shoulder when you feel that you're guilty and you know you're wrong. And that person that you care about the most, instead of being judging and critical, decides to give you grace. It is the greatest feeling this side of heaven. That's what God has done for every one of you. And that's what a church that wants to be like God knows how to do for one another. We know how to be shame lifters. We know how to be shame lifters. We know how to be grace givers. We know how to do compassion because we know that we're all broken and we know but by the grace of God go I in every situation. Hello, I'm BCC. Let's stand. I want our prayer partners to come. I love response time at BCC. I love this time. If you're new to us, maybe you never experienced anything like this. In the old days, churches used to kind of single people out. And whatever the pastor preached on, he would say, who wants to get down here and repent? And, you know, we decided a couple of years ago that, or longer, we decided, you know, people still need to come and seek God, but people don't want to be singled out and said, get down there and repent of your sins in front of everybody. Maybe you don't even need to repent of sins. It's something else. But you need to connect with God about what you just heard or what's going on in your life. That's what this time is about. We have prayer partners here, and they're waiting to start that whole thing we want to do really good. And that's practice a come and see approach. That thing we want to be really good at is being the presence of God in the presence of your humanity. So all this time is about, it's about you bringing your humanity down front and saying whatever you need to say. You can say nothing. You say, I don't want to talk about what I need prayer about, but just pray for me. I'm going through something. I can't talk about it. It's a secret. It's something. Also, we have communion. Three communion stations here. There's a communion station in the back. Even if you don't want to be prayed for, I hope you'll come and receive communion today. Maybe you're here today and you have never made that decision to become a Christ follower, but you've been around here long enough and you've decided, I want to take that step of faith today. I believe what the rest of you believe. Come down and tell one of these prayer partners. That'd be a great way to do it. Come and tell them, I've decided that I want to believe what you believe. Pray for me. And they'll guide you to some further resources. Again, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to visit with you. I'll be out at Connection Central, VIP Central, in order to do that. But right now, I'm going to say a prayer. When I'm done, let's enter into response time. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive Jesus, some of us, as our personal Savior and Lord. We want to make Him the boss of our lives. We want to turn the control of our lives over to Him so we can have eternity. We want to have our sins forgiven. We want to know that Your grace is ours. I pray for everybody who's going through financial problems, physical situations, relational stress, financial stress, all kinds of things. I pray, God, that You will help them and bless them. And let this body be a source of touching and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's enter response time. God bless you.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.